Ken, well, just very quickly, all right? How many have difficulties doing 5 out of 10? Six out of ten have difficult. Okay, how okay? How many can think of a verse? 10 out of 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, God in one. God is one in three, three in one. Which verse? 1 John 5:7. Okay, God wrote the Bible. Okay, yeah, this morning we just did that. Christ is God. Again, Isaiah 9:6, yeah, what? Okay, Titus, what? 2:13. John 1:1, okay, good. The Holy Spirit is God. John 14:1. Oh, okay. Anyone else? The Holy Spirit is God.
1 John 5:7.
The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit. Three that bear record in 1 John 5:7 as well. Okay, Holy Spirit is God. Acts chapter 5. Okay, if you read through that passage, Acts chapter 5 verse 1 to 5, you find that the Holy Spirit is referred to as God. The church is an institution of God. Huh? What? Matthew 16:18. We've been reciting. You have to remember. We just did it last. Week. Okay. Christ is coming again. Right, 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay, with our guardian angels. Okay. Do we have guardian angels? Who believe we have guardian angels? Who don't believe we have guardian angels? Who don't know? Don't know. We do have, Hebrews 1, the last verse. Okay. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them? We shall be heirs of salvation. Okay, those are holy. Those are angels. Man was made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. Good. Okay, men were made in the image of God. Oh, sorry, we did that. Demons are made by God. I should fallen angels. What angels were made by God? Okay, demons were never made by God. They were never. Okay, they made angels. What? Sorry. Okay, angels were made by God, right? Okay, and last one, salvation is only in Christ Jesus. Okay, great. At least we those. Okay, this is. I just wanted to actually highlight. It's important for us to read. Many of us know that this is a Bible doctrine. We need to know where. Alright, because sometimes we need to share with people. Okay, today we're going to touch on this thing called why is the Word of God important. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Let's stand, alright, as we read that. I know we read it during the thing, but we'll read it again. As we honor the Lord, my Pai Sen. 2 Timothy 3:15. Verse 16 and 17. Let's read together, right? Ready? 2 Timothy 3. Let's stand as we read verse 16 and 17. Okay, ready? 1. Ready? Okay, ready? 1, 2. Begin. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we pray you speak to us in a special way. God, we are here to learn and hear from you. Lord, we know that without your word, Father, there will be no stability in this world. We thank you for your precious word today. We pray for one, Father, who need your word and guidance today. I ask that you will lead them, and that, Father, you speak to us in a special way. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Please be seated. Okay, I wanted to give you another Bible quiz, okay? What are the 10 major doctrines of the Bible? The 10 major doctrines of the Bible. 10 major doctrines of the Bible. Okay, which is that? Okay, it's doctrine of salvation. Some more? Doctrine of God, yeah, some more? Doctrine of Christ, yeah, some more? Holy Spirit, some more? That's in doctrine of God. Okay, so for what else? Quick.
Church.
Doctrine of the church, yeah? Some more? Doctrine of angels, yeah? Some more? Doctrine of Satan, yeah? Okay, some more? Doctrine of the Bible, yeah? Some more? Doctrine of man and doctrine of the church. Okay, and doctrine of the last things. Okay, the last things. Okay, the reason why I brought it up was, in a document that acknowledged, right, this is done by George Barna, those who know the people who do Christian survey, said this: the most widely known Bible verse among adult and teenage believers is this, God helps those who help themselves. Have you heard that before? That's the most widely known Bible verse, right? That is not a Bible verse. Neither is the philosophy in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. It's a very nice way of putting things, but unfortunately, it is not entirely scriptural. Okay, so we need to be very careful. Less than 1 out of every 10 believers possess a Bible worldview as the basis for his or her decision making. You know what's a biblical worldview? The Bible worldview is this: God made the world, I'm responsible to Him. All the decisions I make has to be in submission to what He says. Okay, that's a Bible worldview. Okay, when given 13, this is one of the research they have. When given 13 basic teachings from the Bible, only 1% of adult believers firmly embrace all 13 of them. Let me just ask you: do you believe in hell, a literal hell? You don't have to. Do you believe in a literal hell? Do you believe, okay, in the Bible? Do you believe in the local church? Do you believe in angels? Do you believe that God punishes those who reject Him as Savior? Does that make sense? So when it was given 13 basic teachings of the Bible, only 1% will embrace all of them. Okay, now this professor of New Testament at a college in Wheaton, Illinois, biblical illiteracy is at a crisis level. Even though we have so much Bible knowledge available to us. Let's all turn to Hezekiah chapter 28. Turn to Hezekiah chapter 28. Is there a Hezekiah chapter 28? Are you saying there is no Hezekiah? There's no Hezekiah. There's Ezekiel. There's no Hezekiah. And this was given at one of the Faith Bible Institute. I think it was Dr. John Yates was saying. She was saying he was preaching. Let's turn to Hezekiah something something. So all the church, because the church is quite big, so people are turning. Say, are you there yet? Say, yeah. There's no Hezekiah. Alright, trying to be, well, I know everything, you know. Huh? There's Zechariah. There's no Hezekiah. No, I highlight that to show us this. How many books are there in the Bible? Children? How many books are there in the Bible?
66.
How many books are there in the Old Testament?
39.
And then in 27, right? How many words are there in the Bible? Okay, how many chapters are there in the Bible? Alright, these are just Bible information. But you know, a lot of people don't really know. They know about the Bible, but you know, sadly, many people don't know the Bible. What it actually says. Okay? And it's interesting because although we have so much things available to us to know the Bible, we're not reading the Bible. Okay, we're not reading the Bible. Like, how many of you have white elephants at home? You know a white elephant? Not the real one. Real one. How many of you have white elephants at home? You know what's white elephant? White elephant is something that you buy and then you put there and it lives for a long time. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. But you know, do we have white elephants? Is the Bible a white elephant for us? I hope not, but you know, I want to highlight that today. Another research that they got, 1/3 could not put the following in order. Okay, can I put the following order? Which came first? Abraham or Christ? That's a trick question. Sorry, I shouldn't have put. They actually gave this quiz, all right, to a group of people. They put Pentecost, death of Christ, Old Testament prophets, and Abraham. Okay, out of 100 people, 30% couldn't put it in order. Which one came first? Okay, half could not sequence the following: Moses in Egypt, Isaac's birth, Saul's death, and Judah's exile. So there are certain things in the Bible that we don't know because we didn't read. Okay, and so this was a research that was done. Now, this is a scary one. The next one I'm going to show you. In a study by a professor of the beliefs of mainline Protestants, okay, it includes Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Anglicans, only 35% of mainline Protestant church members believe Christ was sinless. That's scary. Only 35% of people in Protestant denominations believe that Jesus Christ is sinless. Do you realize what's the implication if you don't believe that Christ is sinless? If our Savior is not sinless, we will die and go to hell, because when He died for Himself. He was a perfect God that died on Calvary. Okay? Now, another one is, only 34 believe the Bible is totally accurate. Only 34% believe that the Bible is totally accurate. 27% believe that works don't earn heaven. That means, 73% of people believe you can do good things to go to heaven. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that you can do nothing to get to heaven? How many of you actually believe in your heart? You don't have to raise your hand. I have to do something to earn my salvation. That means I got to do something before I can go to heaven for God. If you believe that, you're not a Christian. Because the Bible says in Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. When we trusted Jesus as our Savior, it's just like, I broke something, I don't have money to pay, I have to go to jail. I have to go to jail. But someone comes and said, don't worry, Johnny, yeah, I can pay for you. Jesus Christ paid for us. Does it make sense? If you feel that you can do something to go to heaven, you're not on your way to heaven. Because nothing you can do can earn you heaven. Only Jesus Christ, okay? Only Jesus Christ can earn us a heaven. Only 20% in America believes Satan is real. Do you believe Satan is real? And he creates havoc? And he destroys families? And he does things in people's lives? And he breaks up relationships? Many of us probably have experienced some of that disruption. Say, why is this happening? Well, if you're a Christian, remember, Satan is not on your side. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy things in your life, relationships and all that. We need to understand the Bible. Of Baptists in America, only 34 believe Satan is real. Only 43% believe that works don't earn heaven. Almost all Baptists affirm that Christ was sinless and that the Bible is totally accurate. The majority is not strong on it. Okay, only 55% of Baptists in America believe that Christ is sinless, and only 66% believe that the Bible is totally accurate. It is scary. This is scary because if you don't believe in a perfect Bible, you cannot be sure of your salvation. Alright? This is what we've been talking about in the Sunday school. Let's look at Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. For those who have just joined us, those new visitors, we actually have the guide, okay, so you can just follow along, so you don't have to, I know sometimes some of the passages are a bit hard to find, but it's all there, alright? Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. God says the time will come. I'm going to send. When people want to know what God says, when they feel that they are lost. Can I say this? Not many people want to hear what God wants to say. But you know, I thank God that there are still some people who are wanting to hear what God wants to say. But you know, at the time, God says there will be people who will go all over churches, they will find here, they will run there, They want to hear what God has to say. They cannot find it. This is what the Bible says here. Okay, this is what the Bible says. There come a time when people will not be able to hear what God wants them to know. Did you know that God wants us to read His Word? And God expects us to study His Word as well. Okay, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what the Bible says. The word study means to be diligently reading and understanding what God says. And I'm a firm believer in this. God has answers to every question in life found in the Bible. You don't need new revelation. You don't need everything. If you just study it regularly, God will show you the answers from His Word. Now, before we go into the text, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 once again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I'm just going to give you a little bit of background. Then I'll tell you three things why the Word of God is important. And can I say this? I believe the most important, one of the most important messages that you will have. It's very simple, but I believe it's so important for everyone. Now, the background is Timothy. This is probably the last book written by the Apostle Paul. Okay, he was in prison. Okay, and he was going to die. Okay, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it came a time that they're going to cut off his head. So, Paul tells Timothy to be strong in God's Word. So should we as well. Okay, and this is probably the last book before he was executed. Paul exhorts Timothy, his young son in Christ, to continue in whatever Paul has taught him. Okay, now, why is the Word of God important? Why did Paul say it's important to Timothy? Three reasons. Number one, if you have your notes, if you are taking down notes, number one, because the Word of God is divine authority. The Word of God is divine authority. In verse 16, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, verse 16 says, all Scripture, the word Scripture means words, okay, is given by inspiration of God. Those of you who attended the Sunday Bible Hour, you will find, I describe to you Scripture. The word Scripture in verse 16 is graphe in the Greek. It means all words. All the words of God is God-given. Every word that God gives in the Bible is God-given. Okay? It's interesting because in verse 15, in the same passage, the Bible says that from a child thou have known the Holy Scriptures. The word Scriptures in verse 15 is grammar. In the Greek, it means the letters. So in verse 15, God says the Scriptures is letter. In verse 16 is the words. In other words, all the letters and the words were given by God. Were given by God, alright? And this is very, very important for us as Christians to understand. Because, you know, in the Chinese culture, in China especially, last time when the emperor wanted to send a decree, you know, it's a decree, right? Something that the emperor say, "Sun Zi Dao," you know, that kind of thing. Everyone will bow down, and then they will, and the guy will read, and then they will, and they start. I know you do that, and everyone will kind of respond. Oh no, cannot. They start to respond in a way. The emperor wants us to do this. How can? You know, and every word of the emperor was, we better listen, otherwise your head chop, right? You realize the Bible that you hold in your hand is the voice of God that sits on the throne. It is the voice of God. Every word, every letter that you find in the Bible that you have is spoken from God in heaven. Because that's what the Bible says. All Scripture, all words, every word is given by God. God given the inspiration. The word inspiration is theos. Theos means God. Nephthos means breath. Alright, where we get pneuma. You know, the pump, pneumatology. Now, God breathing, when you talk, if you put your hand here, you'll find that there's air coming out. Alright? It's a very simple illustration. When the Bible says, every word is God breathed. That means all the Bible that you see here, God breathed it out from His own nostrils or from His own mouth. Very, very, very important for us to understand this. Because the first, why the Bible is important? Because it is divine authority. You know, today, not many people like to listen to other people. They don't want to listen to authority. They just want to follow themselves. I read this quote: "The Bible is none other than the voice of Him that sitteth on the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every verse of it, every word of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it is a direct utterance of the Most High God. The Bible is none other than the Word of God. Not some part of it, some part of it less, but all alike the utterance of Him that sitteth on the throne. Faultless, without error, supreme." You know why we preach only God's Word? Because it is His Word. It's no point coming to listen to the philosophy of Johnny, because this church will be empty after a while, because my philosophies are useless. It is God's Word that will help you in this life, not Brother Johnny's words. It's not anyone who comes here to preach, whether missionary or not. It must be God's Word. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's turn there. That's a very important verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul was preaching to a church in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "For this cause, or for this reason, also thank we God without ceasing." In other words, we thank God without stopping. Why? Because when you welcome or when you receive the word of God which ye heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. You know what Paul says? He was very happy for this church at Thessalonians, because when he preached, the congregation, when they listened, that is what God wants us to do. And Paul was very, very encouraged, because God was using him to speak to the people. And they receive it as the Word of God. When you receive the Bible as the Word of God, you realize you're receiving a sense from heaven. In other words, when God says, love your enemies, that's what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 5. You know what it means? It means we have to be obedient to it. It means if God says to be kind to one another, you know what? The Bible just expects us to be kind to one another. That's a life principle. The Bible says to love one another as I've loved you. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says to hate lying. Hate lying. Then we're supposed to hate lying. Huh? We're not supposed to do a little bit. I'll tell a white lie or a purple lie. No. Lie is lie. You don't try to hide it. The Bible says tell the truth. You speak the truth. Of course, you need to be careful how you speak the truth. The Bible says speak the truth in love. Considering the person, sometimes you tell the truth, it may hurt the person. But you speak it in love, or maybe you pull the person aside and say, you know, I want to tell you. You know, some people, they're not sensitive to people in front of them. Hey, why your hair so lousy? You know, that kind of thing. Even though you can tell the person in love, you can say it nicely. You know what? That's divine authority. That's how God wants us to live our lives, okay? It's divine authority. I'll read another one from someone. Always stand to it. Amen. I always listen to this. Your beliefs must bend to the Bible, not the Bible to your beliefs. And dare to be a little inconsistent with yourselves, but don't you dare be inconsistent with God's Word. That was spoken by Spurgeon. And we know Spurgeon is a strong defender of God's truth. Okay? Do not throw away the best for the sake of getting something that may be newer. But that must be far inferior. This person say, I hold one single sentence of God's word to be of more certainty and of more power than all the discoveries of all the learned men of all ages. One sentence from God's word is more sure than all the philosophies of men put together, because it is spoken by a perfect God, a God that cannot lie. The Word of God is divine authority. Now, there are two ways Satan tries to get this authority out of our lives. Okay, number one, using worldly philosophy. You know, how many of you have heard this philosophy? Do what you want, just don't get caught. Do what you want, just don't get caught. I mean, that's a very, very prevalent philosophy in the army. Do what you want. Just don't get caught. As long as the sir don't see, it's okay. You can hide. Of course, Brother Roy will share with you how the whole platoon got dealt with because someone tried. Said not supposed to bring cigarettes in. They brought cigarettes in. They were being punished. Okay, a worldly philosophy. In Singapore, what's a philosophy in Singapore? What's a government philosophy? Be pragmatic. You know what's pragmatic? Pragmatic means as long as you achieve something, you know, all the other problems, don't worry about it. We just go forward. Being pragmatic. Being practical. But you know, sometimes being practical may not be being right. We need to be very careful. The philosophies of this world. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, I just read, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and meaningless or vain deceit after the tradition of men. Let me ask you a question. When you make decisions, how do you make decisions? Is it based on your philosophy? Or what some guru taught you? Or what some master taught you? Or is it what God has taught you? Number one, using worldly philosophy. The number two way the devil tries to remove the authority from your life is to replace God's word with other versions. I want you to come. I'm not saying this lightly. I had this experience so many times. I was talking to someone and he was just debating about the I realized he was using another version, and so I showed him a few verses. Initially it wasn't so clear. It came to the point, he came to one particular, he was using the NIV, I think, I can't remember now. I showed him the King James Bible and I showed him his Bible. And then he is a sincere believer. But you know, as he read the King James Bible, and then he read his own Bible, you know how when people suddenly they learn something, their eyes pop out. So he was reading the kind of, you know, and hey, what's the verse? And he kept reading, kept reading, kept reading, kept reading. It's not there. You know, thank God the next week he changed his Bible. There's another person who believed he was saved because in the NIV, in Acts chapter 8, they miss out one very important verse. Because remember, if you remember in that particular passage, the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be, what does hinder me to be baptized? Okay, this is a very popular one. You look at Acts chapter 8, you will find that from Acts chapter 36, it jumps to 38. What does hinder me to be baptized? The Bible says immediately in verse 38, he went to be baptized. And so this particular person speaking to a pastor said, look, the Bible says there, what is stopping me to be baptized? Verse 38, he got baptized. And then the pastor showed him King James Version, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You see, you don't get baptized unless you're a Christian. And you know what? That person looked at it. Look at the pastor. I was deceived all this time. And with tears in his eyes, of course, thank God he was led to Christ, he trusted Christ, and then after that he was baptized again. You know, there are many, many things I can show you. Do you realize there are 6,000 differences in the text between the... You see, the Bible is in the English Bible, okay? But the original languages are Hebrew and Greek, okay? So in order to translate it faithfully here, you need to have the proper text. Does that make sense? The foundation, the original text given to translate this must be the correct one. Do you realize that there's only one Bible that is translated? There are two main Greek texts. One is called the Textus Receptus, the received text. And one is called the Nestle's text, or Westcott and Hort text. Now the Westcott and Hort text, there's only one Bible translated from the Textus Receptus. That's the King James Bible. All the other Bibles are translated from the Westcott and Hort. That's scary. And they say that the Westcott and Hort texts are more accurate. You listen to this. You know how they came out with the Westcott and Hort texts? They actually found two different texts. One in a Catholic monastery, okay, and one in the Vatican Library in the 1850. I'll just give you a bit of background. You want to know more? You come, alright, on 3 weeks from now. The Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. This guy, Tischendorf, put it together and say, oh, we've rediscovered God's word. Okay, does it make sense? And so by 1881, they came out with this called the Westcott and Hort text. There's a problem. Between Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, there were 6,000 differences between the two. 6,000 differences in words. That's why when you read your NIV, the RSV, the NASV, and all the BBBs, and the Zs, and the Vs, you find that all the words that are not there are consistent in the verses that are missing. Does that make sense? Example, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. They replaced the word God with He. All the versions, excluding New King James, use the word He. Only the King James Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. It's a significant difference. You know why? The NIV, the translation committee, had Jehovah's Witnesses on it as well. You had a problem if you have a cult translating your Bible. That's why they want a Bible that will cut across all denominations. If you look at the translation committee, there are people from the Mennonite Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Anglican Church, and the Jehovah's Witness as well. And you know, we've been deceived to say that, oh, we don't have a perfect Bible. Almost all the Bible colleges use the Westcott and Hort text today. And that's why when the people, the pastors that come out, they will teach, oh, any version is okay. No, it's not. You've learned from the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, if God gave His word, then His word must be clear. Okay? For those of you who came in the Sunday Bible hour, we played a game. Okay? There was a game. I can't remember. Where was the... Okay, there was this sentence that said, I'm going to the temple for a cup of tea, and the animals must be kept clean. Okay, that was a statement. Alright? There were seven people, and Brother Desmond was supposed to... should we do it again? Anyway, they were trying to transmit that message. At the end, the message was... What was the message? The animal is with me? Also, no. The temple... I'm in the temple, and the animals is with me. Or something like that. Sorry? Or beside me. The message was totally changed. And so Brother Desmond said there's a corrupted text by the end. You know, God gave us a perfect Bible. And you come during Sunday Bible, I'll show you why we believe the King James Bible is the English Bible for God's people today. Okay? And Satan hates this. Satan hates this. You know what it means today? We have the Word of God. We do have God's Word today, and we can read it, and we can know that that is what God says. Let me read this. We cannot imagine how much we owe to this holy man of God, this people of God, who under God's Holy Spirit, continually gathering God's Word, how much we are indebted to them, because in order to preserve God's Word, many of them actually had to die. I think we've seen this before. Some of you who have come to my house, we've seen, I'm going to show you William Tyndale. William Tyndale was executed. Why? For translating the Bible into the English language. He was executed. And before he died, he prayed this, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. 2 years later, the King of England made a decree that the English Bible is to be read throughout England. But William Tyndale had to die so that the people of England will have the Word of God. Do you realize how precious this is? Do you realize how precious God's Word? It is divine authority. God guides your life by His Word. We cannot have a corrupted one. Let me ask you, do you believe we have the Bible today? It makes a lot of difference if you believe it or not. You know, if you believe what I say, you do it. But if you don't believe what I say, you won't do it. If you believe this is the Bible, would you do it? But if you don't believe this is the Bible, would you read it? No. Can you see where faith comes in? Many of us say we are Christians, but we have to have divine authority. We cannot say one thing and do something else. Because if God says to love your enemies, we have to love our enemies. Why is it important? It is divine authority. God's word is divine authority. Let me just apply it generally. Question for those who have children, let me ask you, if a teacher says, well, you have to go to school on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, and it's compulsory, what will you do? What would you do? I know it's a hard decision, but what will you do? There was one lady, she was in MPCC, okay, she was MPCC. She was a teacher, okay, and so in MPCC, you know, sometimes they have, she actually had camp over the weekend. But you know what, she loved God's word so much, she actually asked for permission. Can I be excused for 4 hours to go to church and then come back after that? You know what, it was granted her. You know, we're not saying don't follow, but you love God's word, that you say, God, I want to go to worship you, and because your word says so. And God, open the door for me. God will. Another question, those working, if your boss tells you to do something that you know is wrong, but you know your company can get a big deal, you know, and the company will be rich, would you do it? That may be at an expense of your promotion. They may kick you out. People will say, hey, you sabotage the company. But if it's wrong, you're stealing, or maybe you cheat, would you do it? Can you see? What you believe to be your authority will then help you decide whether to do right or wrong. I know of general managers who there was one particular Christian, every time people want to pass him something under, he just pass it back. I'm not going to do your business if that's the way. You know, just do it clean, above board, as a Christian. I know of another non-Christian, you know. You know, he tell me, this is in the army. He say, oh, nah, give me 1 million rupiah, you get $2 million. You know how much is 1 million rupiah? In Singapore terms? How much is 1 million rupiah? 1 million divided by 5,000. How much is 1 million? $200 to earn $1 million. Worth it? But of course, to the 1 million rupiah for the person, I mean, for the person in that country, it's a lot. So I just give him 1 million rupiah, I get $1 million deal. Why not? You see, that's where we decide based on what we think. But when God says, thou shalt not steal, and God hates this kind of balance, it's a false balance, it's an abomination to God. God hates dishonesty. Who is your authority? You know why the Bible is important? It's divine authority in your life. I'm afraid some Christians may still do what's most practical, most convenient. The one that doesn't... I'm not saying go through life and make your life tough. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you have to decide between right and wrong, whose authority are you going to make the decision on? Is it your authority? I know some people say, regardless of, no matter what happens to me, I'm still going to do what is right. That is God's way. Number one, do you have divine authority in your life? Is what I'm doing agreeable to God? Number two, why is the Word of God important? Number one is divine authority. Number two, the Word of God is divine prescription for changing your life. For change. It's a divine prescription for change. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, in the study of that passage, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we've studied that. We know that every word, every letter is given by God. Do you realize the word "and"? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The word "and" is kai, right, in the Greek. It means accumulative force whereby all scripture is a subject. Okay, number one, it's given by God. And it's profitable. So this profitable and this given inspiration of God and this profitable, they are both on equal terms. So they are given by God and is equally, because given by God is profitable for us to change. Does that make sense? The way God phrased it is that this word is all, you want behavior change, you want to change your behavior, all you need is to follow the Bible. Did you know that? Do you realize all you need For parents, if you want to train your children, all you need is to study God's Word and to apply God's Word. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says all the Bible is given by God and is profitable for change. For change. Okay? When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God expects us to change in our behaviors, our attitudes. Last time we used to, I said this many times before, last time I used to lie, now I don't because God said no lying. Last time I used to steal, now I don't steal because God says don't steal, thou shalt not steal. Last time I used to dishonor my parents, but now I don't because God says honor thy father and thy mother. Okay? God says love your husband, love your wife. Last time I hate my husband, but after I became a Christian, I love my husband, love my wife. That's what God says. Change. And can I say this? When you obey God, the family relationships gets better. Think about that. When you obey God, the family relationship gets better. But when we disobey God, that's when corruption steps in and the problem starts. Okay? The Bible says, just look at two verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I touched on this during the church camp. Talking about why people cannot change. Sometimes people just cannot change. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you are a Christian, the Bible says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you are a Christian, you are in Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The word new creature has to do with someone who is fresh, original, recreated. Okay? It has to do with, when you talk about becoming a new creature, the word become, all things are passed away. The word passed away means are perishing, dying. All things are become new. The word become there means this. It's in the reflexive tense. A reflexive tense. That simply means this. I'm a student, so I go to school. Does that make sense? I'm a student, so I go to school. A reflex. Okay? I'm a Christian, so things are becoming new. Things can only get better for me. Change will only come. We had this gurgle. How many know what is gurgle? No, it's actually a high flux. No, high flux, the water. We actually bought this because we wanted to minimize this mineral water thing. And so after we bought it, we fixed it. It was good for a while. And then after the water started flowing out, now it's starting to flow out again. We actually brought this gurgle thing. There's a tap, right? Then you attach this thing, then it's like a mineral. I think some of you had diamond water, that kind of thing. So it's kind of like an attachment. So we bought that gurgle. Okay? It's called Gurgle. It's a Singapore company. So the gurgle, after the first 2 or 3 weeks, it started to leak already. Then I try as I would. I tried to tighten it. It just cannot work. All right. So I brought back to the guy and said, look, I think there's something wrong with this one. When I attach it, the water keeps flowing out from everywhere. Right, so in the end, he was very reluctant, but in the end, I told him that, look, we can't, we put it every time the water leak. And so I decided, then he said, okay lah, then he tried to, and we took 2 weeks before they actually sent a replacement, one-on-one exchange. He said, this is the last one that we're going to change for you. Then I told him, look, even if you change this one broken, it's still under warranty. You cannot threaten me like that. And he kind of, okay. So anyway, but you know what? When I actually took out the old one and put in the replacement one, it was fine. Everything was fine. When I said the water was strong, I don't know about my family, but I found it a bit sweeter, the water, that kind of thing. And everything was much better. Why? Because there was a old thing, the old gurgle was passed away. Behold, all new gurgles have become new. And so the water is working properly, coming out properly, the flow is strong, the mineral water is sweet, and everything is good. Okay? And it's 2 months now, and now it's starting to work over again, so I think it's a construction. But anyway, does it make sense? We take away the old things, we put in the new, things should start getting better, right? If we buy a new van, the aircon should be working. Well, not in our cases now. I always laugh when I see a brand new license plate behind a tow truck. or the tow truck come and tow a new, brand new car. You know, when you get a new car, everything should be working fine, right? If you have an old car, you get dispose it after the COE got, you dispose it, you buy a new one, everything should be working fine. You know, that's the same thing when Jesus Christ changed us. He changes us. Listen carefully. Lord, God doesn't change us from the outside. He changes us from the inside. When He changes us from the inside, what we say should sound better. How we behave should be better. Can I say this? Even your thinking of people should improve. If you're a Christian. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, if last time you used to hate and you still after praying, yala, I'm Christian or so what, but the guy, I cannot stand him. That is not a Christian. The Lord won't think of us like that. And Jesus says, be perfect, even as I am perfect. That's what Jesus taught us. Does that make sense? So it's very important, because God's word tells us straight. Now, Brother Johnny, I don't know, there's so many things that's wrong in my life. You know what you need to do? Take it one step at a time. As God, like today, you say, Brother Johnny, I haven't been reading the Bible. Then start reading the Bible. And then God can put that into your life, okay? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Talk about the change. The Word of God is divine prescription for change. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord. The word glass there refers to the Bible. And the Bible tells us the image of Christ. Okay, the Bible tells us about Christ. We, with open face, means what? With honesty, looking at God's word, we see the image of Christ. You know, the Bible says the more we see the Bible, the more we are changed into this image. Can someone tell me a few characteristics of Christ very quickly? Brother Desmond, a characteristic of Christ. Christ is? He's sinless. Okay, one. I cannot use that one, but never mind. Christ is?
God is love.
God is love? Okay, Christ is loving. So what should we do? We should be?
Lovable.
We should be lovable. That's different. Loving and lovable are different. Okay, God is loving, so as Christians, we should be? Loving, right? Okay, God is? Christ is forgiving. Remember on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. How should Christians be? Forgiving. Oh, Brother Johnny, you don't know this, what this guy did to me. We all know what they did to Christ. What do you mean so hard? Huh? No. You know why Jesus wants us to learn to forgive the way He forgave? Because then we get rid, listen carefully, we get rid of the trash in our lives. It's a lousy way to live with unforgiveness. Would you agree? If you have unforgiveness in your heart. That's why Jesus says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says God is forgiving. But the Bible says God is giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. God is a giving God. Then what should we do? We should learn to give. I'm not saying everything you sell and give, but you know, if people need something, you give. That's part and parcel of being like Jesus Christ. Alright, that's what the Bible says. And you know, the more we read, you mean Jesus can forgive that guy? Did Jesus forgive Judas Iscariot, you think? You know, it said Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, and what did Jesus call him? Friend. Friend. Would you call someone who just betrayed you? Hey, kawan, friend. Jesus called Judas friend. You realize how much Jesus loved Judas? Jesus loved Judas Iscariot so much that when he died on the cross, Jesus included him if he would just believe in Jesus. Does that make sense? But because he rejected Christ, Judas had to go to the place of punishment. The Bible says the more we read the Bible, the more we are changed in the image. Can I say this? If you are reading the Bible on a daily consistent basis and there is no change in your behavior, something is wrong. It cannot be. It just cannot be. If you are daily reading the Bible with all your heart, in faith in your heart, say, God, this is your word, I'm going to read it, please change me. And say, God, I'll obey you. You know what? You will change. And I've seen your own life. Some of you, I know you. And as you begin to read God's word, you begin to... I can sense also the struggle. Sometimes it's not easy to forgive. Let's put it this way. It's not easy to love. It's not easy. How can I love that guy? That's what he did to me. Or the kind of thing. But no, it's hard. But you know what God says? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. God can strengthen us. You know what? The more we learn to forgive, the more we learn to love, the more we learn to be like Christ, where do we get all this information? From the Bible. That's why God's word is prescription for change. Okay? How does God change us? Very simply, in 2 Timothy 3:16, four ways. You can just write down in your notes. Number one, and it's profitable for doctrine, teaching you what is the right thing to do. The Bible teaches us what is the right thing to do. Right thing to forgive, and etc. So the right thing is from the Bible. The word profitable for doctrine means the teaching of the Bible, teaching us what is right. Number two, it tells us what is wrong. The word reproof means telling us what is wrong. It means it's a record and evidence against us. Example, let's say if I steal this one. Let's say I stole this, okay? Let's say I steal it. Is this yours? Okay, so, yeah. Very nice. So I steal it, I put it inside here. And then what? Then, let's say I'm a Christian. God's word will come into my mind and say what? Thou shalt not steal. Okay, I'm sorry. Some of us want to do something that is not... Sometimes it's questionable that suddenly God's word come into your mind. You know that's what God is doing? To either stop you from doing what is wrong, or after you've done what is wrong, to give you evidence that you are wrong. Can I say this? I believe everyone and anyone who has done wrong, God put this little thing in all of us called the conscience. Even a child, when they do wrong, know they've done wrong. You know how I know? When they say, hey, who broke my bars? Not me. Yeah? Then after, not me, really? Not me, it's not really, not me. Then you see the evidence sticking out from, have you seen that before? This little baby, little child eating the chocolate cake. And they say, who ate my chocolate cake? Not me, the chocolate cake is all here. Or smear all over the face. Not me, I didn't eat. And the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. You know why even little children know how to king? You know, little children know how to lie. Why? Because the conscience tell them they're wrong, but they don't want to. They don't want to tell people they're wrong. For adults, we are more sophisticated. Huh? We cover up in different ways. We cover up in... I don't think he did it, but actually he actually did it. But you know what? Deep down inside, I think you all agree with me. When we've done wrong, we actually know we're wrong. You know what the Bible says, the next one? God tells us what is right, He shows us what is wrong. Then, He actually tells us how to get right again. Okay, that's the third one, for correction. The word correction means, very interesting, the word correction means to straighten up again. Right? God says, I want to correct you, straighten up again. So a person who has been stealing, what does God tell a person who has been stealing? The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands. In people in the Ephesian church, they believe in a shortcut to prosperity. You know, a lot of people in Singapore believe in shortcut to wealth. You know what they do? They go IR lah. They go to the integrated resort lah. They go and ching ching, you know. One time drop, after that you stay there longer, right? Because after 4 times, I get 2 times. Well, not bad one, huh? I earn a few hundred dollars, then after that, a few hundred dollars, I want some more $100, right? Then after that, you owe $500,000. No, I shared with you before, there are some foreign workers who would throw away all their life savings. You know why? Greed. What does God tell us to do? Work with your hands. And what you work with stays in your pocket and stays in your bank. And if anyone take it away, that's stealing. But it's yours, because you work. See, God has a way of doing things. But when men want to take the shortcut, we always get into trouble. God gives us correction. If you are stealing, God says don't steal. If you really want something, work for it. If you really want something, work for it. If we have a habit of lying, you know what God says? Put away lying, but speak truth, one with another. Why do you realize lying actually breaks up relationships? Because when you lie, you have to hide. And after a while, the person hide until he don't want to see you anymore, right? Because he paiseh already. He's ashamed. The Bible tells us how to get right. And number four, for instruction in righteousness. God tells us what is right, tells us what is wrong, tells us how to be corrected. And number four, instruction is righteousness. This is very important for parents. You listen. The word instruction in righteousness means education or training. By implication, it refers to disciplinary correction, chastening, so that the person will continue to do what is right. My children get it a lot. They need a lot of instruction in righteousness. And notice this, the word righteousness means not instruction in what you think is right, instruction in what God says is right. So which means that when you teach your children and say, you better do it, otherwise, if that's all you teach your child, you know what the child will do? The child will turn into a hypocrite. When you're around, I do it. When you're not around, I don't do it. But when you teach your child, I will tell my, if you do this, you've done what is wrong. You know why it's wrong? Because God says, don't steal. It's not, Papa's not around, never mind, or God still sees. So when the child says, Papa says, God sees, okay, I better not take. But you're training her to have self-control, him to have self-control based on God's laws. I will tell my children sometimes, you realize it, when you did that, you're not just breaking Papa's heart, you're breaking God's law. We need to teach our children instruction in righteousness, doing what is right. Can I say this? If your children or any one of you as a Christian say, God, I want to be governed by your laws, your character will change. Because why? You will do right when people are around, you will do right when people are not around. Instruction in righteousness. But younger children really need to be trained. Sometimes they are just themselves. Older people, like I said, they are more sophisticated. They try to cover up. But you know what? If you've gotten into trouble, God's word will teach you what is right. But you know what? You need to stay in the right way. God's word is divine authority. God's word is prescription for change. And number three, the word of God. Why is the word of God important? As we finish, word of God has divine purpose. Divine purpose. Notice the divine purpose. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, perfect, truly furnished. Some of you may have the word thoroughly furnished. The word thoroughly and truly is two different things. I'll explain why. Furnished unto all good works. The word perfect there means mature. The word truly furnished simply means you will be equipped from the inside. Truly furnished. God goes through you. That's why Christianity is not an outward thing. Can I say this? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 30, for to win a lady's heart, a man will do anything. Have you heard this? I will get the moon for you if I can marry you, that kind of thing. That's a lie. You know that, right? No one can. I will do this for you. That's a lie. Sorry? I will cross the seven seas, maybe can I just take speedboat. I will do everything. But then after he had gotten the thing already, what's your problem? You know, no. They say that in the first year of marriage, when a wife is sick or a husband is sick, they will spend go to the most expensive doctors and kind of make sure everything is done. Then in the second year, they sick. Okay lah, come on, let's go and see doctor. Third week, you sick, can you call the maid to go and get you? The fourth week, don't call me, I'm busy. No, things are too cold, I hope that doesn't happen. But you know what? Here, it means that's the external change. Do you realize we can change if we want to? Externally? For sure? For people to see? In the camp, we shared one thing about personality and character. Personality is what you show people. Character is who you are. Personality is what you show people. Character is who you are. And that's why one of the things we touch on very deeply during the church camp is this. Many people in this world are actors. We act a lot. You know what, even I say this, even myself, I cannot put myself out of it, I'm better than you. No, I'm not. In certain things, I need to be careful what I do too. We're all in this world. But you know what? Jesus Christ wants to change us to be like Him. Jesus is the same privately and He's the same publicly. There's no change. Does that make sense? God wants to make us like Christ so that our character and what people see is the same. And anything we do, people say, you can trust Him. Just like we can trust God. Does that make sense? And that's why God has a divine purpose. You don't become a Christian for fun, you know. Some people become a Christian because, wow, they got more kaki, more friend. Are you all in the world so you have more friend? But you know what? You become a Christian because God wants to change you from inside. How many of you struggle with, I'm like that, I cannot change? Not true. God says you can. Because you are a Christian, God has given you the Holy Spirit, and God is giving you His strength to change. But are we willing to allow Him to let Him do His work in us? Through the change in life and character, as men yield to the Word of God. You know, the primary basis for change, if this is what you say, I'll do it. If this is what you say, I'll do it. If God say, you want me to be baptized, Lord, I will be baptized. Lord, you want me to love this brother, I will love this brother. I cannot stand him, but because I obey you, Lord, I will. The Bible says, the more you obey God, the easier it becomes. Some children just absolutely don't like to write. They don't like to write. And every time they write, they I'm going to the toilet. A headache. Mama, hungry. No, you just finish that. Yeah, right. Oh, I'm thirsty. Can I go and drink? They give excuses why they don't want to write. But you know what? If you just gently enforce over time, actually the writing will get better. Because practice makes perfect. You know, it could be that God may be doing some of that enforcing with us. Morally, God is saying, no, I want you to go through that. Oh, I don't want. No, go through that. As you, yes, God, but I don't want my... You keep on fighting, but over time you say, God, as you put me through, God begins to teach us to submit to Him. And when the more you submit to Him, God changes you. Is it? That's why a lot of people believe, that person so lazy, go army, then he know. Well, then he come up, he's very disciplined. Why? Day in, day out in the army, 5:30 get up, 10:30 sleep. Last time, 10:30 sleep, very last time we sleep at 1 a.m., wake up at 4 a.m. Last time, but now of course you must have welfare. But you know what? The person, the soldier, he may be very lazy before, but when he went in army, he has no chance. That he got to do things for himself, wash his whatever, you know, he has to bathe himself. Of course he bathe himself. I'm sorry. Okay, he got to pack his bag himself, keep his things himself, bulk up himself. Sorry, just ignore that, alright? He got to do things for himself in the army, and after that, he absolutely becomes more disciplined after that. Why? Because for that 2 years, he's been trained. Okay? He's been trained. Can someone just bring her to... I think she needs the restroom. Yeah. Okay? Thank you, Sister Gail. Okay. God has divine purpose. You know what's the purpose? Did you realize when you say God expects us to serve Him and to do good works? In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. I'll just read. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all sin, all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, listen, the last part, zealous of good works. God says, I not only want to change you from inside, I want you to be a special people to me, zealous of good works. You know what good works is? Obedience to Christ in baptism, in serving Him, in tracting, whatever, witnessing, reading your Bible. Good works also mean caring for people. People in need, people who are crying, or people who are hurt. We have to reach out. Those are good works. You know, in the Bible, I believe very much. You know, Jesus went about healing the sick and all that. Many people believe, oh, today God does that too. I believe God with all my heart, God can heal. But God doesn't heal the way the faith healers do it. Okay? But you know how we do good works? That when a person has need, we meet the person's need. A person fell down or hurt himself, he needs a ride to the clinic or whatever. Say, come, I'll go for you, I'll go with you. That's doing good, and that's ministering to the, that's showing love, the way Jesus wants us to show love. Zealous of good works, okay? Good, an example of good works, let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 27. James actually said this very, very clearly. James chapter 1, verse 27, I'll just read. In verse 16, 26. James 1, 26. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, in other words, you don't control your tongue. If you claim to be a Christian, that's what the Bible says, and you don't control your tongue, you are bluffing yourself. And this man's religion is meaningless. You know why? You know why? Because God says, if I'm going to change you from inside, and you cannot control your tongue, that means your religion has no power. Okay? Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know what? There's a practical aspect to your spirituality. If you're a Christian, you will visit the widows and the fatherless, referring to the orphans and the widows. This is important because during that time, there are many widows, husbands who died, and orphans, okay? Our children without our parents. True religion is you take care of these people. So what is the culture of the people that we have in Singapore? We have people from the halfway house. Right, we have people who maybe may have bad family backgrounds, perhaps, and they are suffering, or maybe they are resisting, or maybe there are certain things that happen in their lives. You know what God says? Pure religion is that we reach out to these people. And I was sharing with the church on Friday how one of the things I believe very much, I received a phone call, I think I shared with some, Wednesday, right? Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. in the morning, I received a phone call from someone who was a former drug addict and say, I really want to get out of my drug addiction, and but I need a church and I need support and help. You know, at 6 a.m. he called me in the morning. I don't mind getting up at any time to help someone. But you know, it's interesting, God is using ambassador to help people who are the down and out of society. I received so many calls from these people. But you know what? The verse that came to me is what? Luke chapter 4. Jesus came to set the captives free. You know, there are many churches who minister to all these big people, the people who have lost money, that's fine, you know. But you know what? Are you contented that God calls us to a church that helps people to get out of their drug addiction, help people to get out of the life that they have that was bad, and move forward for Christ? Are you contented with that? We could be, I believe, ambassador. God is going to call us to that very much because we receive so much of this calls, working with people from broken families, people with difficulties in their lives that they just cannot get out of. And I thank God that they are wanting to come, but you know what, we need more soldiers of God, more people who will say, yes, I will walk with these people. There's a divine purpose. As we close, can I ask you one question? What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? Is it to make money? What's your purpose in life? Think through, what is your purpose in life? Is it to wake up, brush teeth, change, eat breakfast, rush an MRT, go to work, go for lunch, sleep a while after lunch, then finish work, go home, rush again to the MRT, go home, read newspaper, see TV, feed the cat, go and sleep. I must remember to bathe. Okay? Next morning, do the same thing again. Is that your meaning of life? If you're a Christian and you're doing that, that is not God's will for you. Oh yeah, that's your duty in life. You have to work. We all have to work to support our families. That's what God says. Right? As husbands, you have to work. Wives, you have to work. Sometimes, care for the house. But if that is all you do, day in, day out, what is your meaning in life? What's your purpose in life? You know, God says here in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that a man of God may be thoroughly, truly furnished. Christians, God wants to change us from inside. And I dare say you and I are in the same boat. We have a lot of renovation we need to do inside. Right? Some more than others. But still we have to. So for some of us, there's this heavy furniture in our heart. that is very hard to move. That you even you use your whatever cannot move. Only God can move it. God wants to use His word to do the renovation inside. Can I say this? The more you do renovation inside, your behavior, your words, your actions will get better and better and better. As we close, what is your authority in your life to make decisions? The Bible says God's word is final authority. It is given by God. That's why we preach the Bible day in, day out. That's why we print out. That's why we have Bibles everywhere, Word of God everywhere, and everything that we do. Even when Brother Joshua after come to share the thing about should we have offerings from non-believers, do you realize there's a Bible principle for that? We are not to take it from a non-believer. Okay? What is your authority in life? And I think, what is your meaning in life? If all you do is just do what you're doing now, and you're not doing something that God wants you to do, you know, you can go through life, you will never have a meaning. Life is not about earning money only. Life is not about just working. Life is about looking at God and saying, God, you saved me for a purpose. I want to do that purpose. Alright, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And thank you, Lord, for thy word. Thank you for the encouragement we can have from your word. Teach us your way, Lord. As we're going to sing in the closing, but more than that, help us to understand that it is your word that is divine authority. Father, your word has to change our life. And the way it does it is for us to submit and be obedient to it. Help us, Father, to do that. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I want to ask you this question. What authority do you have in your life? Is it the word of God or something else? Maybe God is speaking to your heart and you say, Brother Johnny, there are certain things that the way I make decisions is obviously clear. I don't have God's word as my authority, but I want to. And just pray for me that God help me to make His word my authority in life. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand too. I want to make God's word the authority in my life. Amen. I see those hands too. Just put it up and put it down, okay? Anyone else? Amen. Just put it down. Amen. I see that hand. Many children are making their decisions, but what about the adults? No, it's good that from young they are making that decision. And hopefully, children, as you make those decisions, you remember the decision. Is there anyone else? I want to make God's word the basis. Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Anyone else? That hand. Amen. Those hands. I believe with all my heart, you all know, as you make that decision, you know, pray in your own heart, God help me. In order to know God's word, they're making an authority in your life, you need to know God's word. And I'm thankful that many of us are in FBI, but you know what? We need to be in Sunday Bible Hour too. We need to be in Sunday School too. We need to be in service and in Friday night so that we can learn more God's word so they can obey. Is there anyone else? I want to make God's word an authority in my life. Is there anyone else? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the hands that have gone up. Lord, I know it's a simple message, but I pray, Father, it will burn into our hearts. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we need to know your word for the sake of our children, for the sake of our family, for the sake of our own Christian life. Lord, it is not your will that we remain the way we are. You want to change us from inside. Father, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will change us from inside. And that God, our lives will, when people look at us 1 or 2 months from now, we will be totally changed because we obey your word. Father, I pray for your blessings, Lord, to be on everyone right now as we close. Lord, I pray that you would help us even as we have a short meeting with regards to the fundraising. But Lord, I pray, help us to be governed by the authority of your word, Lord, in everything that we do. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in Ambassador. Help us never, never as a church to move away, Lord, from what you say to be right. It's not what I say as pastor. It's not what anyone say. But it's what you say that's important, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we're closed. All right. And